right, so we are live, folks, and thank you for bearing with me through some technical difficulties. This is Religion, Economics, and Politics, and I am your host, Morris Jackson. Before we go any further, please like, subscribe, share, all of that. So please help support the podcast. I have my brother, Akili Shabazz, with me with Hidden Tools of Economic War. We are back again to talk about building financial wealth and not only building it, but protecting it. So if you had joined us in our previous podcast, we talked about building wealth and protecting that wealth through insurance. And not only in the traditional sense where it's a death benefit, but how we can actually use insurance while we're actually living here on this side of the grass. And I want to further, yeah, that's right. So, but anyway, let me just stop a minute and let Brother Shabazz introduce himself, because, man, I have the gift of gab. I can talk forever. You have to just shut me down. So, but anyway, Brother Shabazz, go ahead and introduce yourself for those who may not be familiar with who you are.
Well, thank you, your Brother Morris, for having us back. You know, as we went through those series of interviews and dialogues, it was very good. But first of all, let me stop. I'm Akili Shabazz with Hidden Tools of Economic War. And we actually named it that because when we deal with finances, we deal with traditional, the comfort stuff, the things that we know, but there's a lot of things that's out there that we don't know, but it's just right past our fingertips. And our goal was to kind of expose that by just opening some doors and have some conversations so we can understand the living benefits of insurance, because at some point everybody's going to die. So if we have the insurance and we understand how to not only maintain the life of our loved ones after we go, but how we can structure it so it can be a generational wealth thing. And I think what we wanted to go into, you know, this afternoon is to help us to understand how to protect our wealth, because it's one thing to have it, but we need to know how to actually protect it, and understanding the tools that the wealthy use every day actually right in front of our face, but we may not understand exactly how that's being done.
Yeah, and that's great, and that's a great segue into what we want to talk about today, which is trust funds. I think it's kind of an enigma for a lot of us. We hear about trust funds, we see it on television. There are jokes about trust funds being trust fund babies, and actually, there's nothing wrong with being a trust fund baby. I wish I had been a trust fund baby. So we're going to talk today about how to create some trust fund babies of your own. So, and how trust funds can actually protect your wealth. And it's actually a very, very smart thing to do. So I guess the first question is, Brother Shabazz, what exactly is a trust fund for those of us who pretty much only gotten our education about a trust fund through something we've heard or something we've seen on television?
Let me piggyback on the term a trust fund baby, because when a lot of people create a trust fund, a trust fund is a living entity. So kind of like if you start a corporation, your corporation is a living entity that has its own EIN number, which now makes it something accountable to the IRS. A trust fund is similar to the point where you are creating something that will outlive you. And since it's going to outlive you, it is a place where you protect, store, and distribute, and even grow your assets. Now, the assets can be personal, can be real estate, could be bank accounts, could be brokerage accounts, could be actually business in which you own, could be your cars, your jewelry, whatever assets you may have. You would put it into the trust so that the trust is now, so let me correct myself. you were transferred into the trust so that the trust now becomes the owner of that and you are no longer the owner. So that when you pass, the trust already owns everything, so that you are, the trust is the beneficiary of your bank account or your brokerage account. So that in essence is what they call funding the trust. Okay,
so you're getting into something where, so I was gonna ask a question. So what are the benefits of actually having a trust? And I guess we can just go ahead and answer that question. What are the benefits and why should I be interested in setting up a trust?
I'll try to keep it simple. The basic benefits of a trust is it, because it's its own entity, you can avoid actually probate. So after you pass away, we may have heard of some actors and entertainers that actually passed away and their estate was tied up in probate for a period of time. That is at a cost to the estate, and the state that you're in, the courts will get a piece of your estate, and you may have to wait, and how you desire to distribute your estate may not happen how you want it, because once it's in the probate, now it's at a point where people can contest and fight against what your actual wishes are. So from you having it into a trust, you avoid a probate. Now somebody would literally have to sue in order to fight rather than going into probate, which opens up the door for you to do that. The other things are, it would be a place where you would create your documentation. So if you get sick and you're unable to say what you want for your medical directive, you would have somebody in place for that. And it would control all of these different entities, even if you had a business entity and you became sick or incapacitated to the point where you can no longer verbally communicate. Your trust can say, okay, actually Brother Morris had already set up so-and-so as the trustee, and he or she will now say what Morris, his wishes are as far as his medical treatment or how he wants his business to actually move. So you have this other entity that becomes your voice in the way of your estate or your property. And I hope that makes sense. I'm just trying to keep
it. Actually, it does. And I'd like to look at another example and get you to kind of expound on that. So let's say we are talking about insurance and you know, we pass away and we leave a lump sum of money to our kids or to whomever the beneficiary is.
Okay.
So instead of leaving that money directly to that person, we could also leave it to the trust or make the trust the beneficiary and instruct the trust to issue out monthly payments or whatever our desire is to do with that money and how we want it to be distributed. Why would we want to do that? And I'm thinking of taxes. Is another benefit, but and the thing is, we want to put out a disclaimer here. We're not attorneys, we're not CPAs. We're not, you know, but we do know a few things about trust and why they are important. But anyway, I just want to put that out there. So, but what are some reasons why we would want to make the trust the beneficiary instead of directly, you know, making our beneficiary the person who receives those funds?
One thing you can do is you can shift the liability from yourself onto the trust. And like you said, we are not actually tax professionals or accountants. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but you can shift the liability from you being the owner of these assets to the trust being the owner of these assets. And then you can make the trustee actual beneficiary. And depending on your own vision, you can have you're speaking about life insurance, you can have it pay out quarterly, annually. You can have it pay out based upon instructions, to the point where if you have had children, you can say, okay, my first child can get $30,000 for a business, but they have to have a business plan, you know, and then they can get this for a business, or my child can get this for a college fund, but they have to be majoring these type of courses, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's on one level, it's based upon the vision and how you see it being put out there, and you're protecting how things are being distributed, so that if you have an 18-year-old and you pass with life insurance and them being the direct actually beneficiaries, they may just get that lump sum of, let's say, 20% of your death benefit. But if you put it into a trust, they will still have access to that 20%, but they may have to meet conditions along the way, so that you know that they are being educated on the financial situation of the trust, of the money, so that they're putting the money to work rather than playing with the money. Right. You know,
so parents, yes, that's very important. And thank you for clarifying that. So parents, I want you to really listen to this, because, you know, how often have you seen maybe another family member or someone you've known who inherited some money at a really young age, and not necessarily to any fault of their own, but they've inherited this money, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got $200,000-$300,000, and they're maybe 19 years old, 20 years old. That money usually does not last long, because they're just not educated about money, how to make that money work for them, and how to make that money last, because they still have a lot of life to live at the age of 19, 20 years old. $200,000 to $300,000 can be spent very, very quickly. And maybe even a couple of years down the road, you know, they don't have anything to show for it. And we're just kind of standing there shaking our head and go, you know, this boy wasted all this money. But it is our job as the elders to educate them and to put provisions in place to protect them sometimes from their lack of knowledge, or lack of financial literacy. So we have to be responsible and put those things in place for them to help guide them through life. And then as they mature, they become more financially literate. And guess what? You're teaching them at the same time how to teach their children.
Exactly.
How to handle money. So those are things that you also pass down. It's not just the money you're passing down, but you're also passing down the wisdom that goes along with that money and that inheritance. So, you know, the Bible talks a lot about wisdom, and not only wisdom, but in all you're getting, make sure you get understanding. You need to understand how money works. You need to understand how taxes work. You need to understand how trust work, and getting those inheritances like that. So, you know, I could go on and on about different, you know, Bible stories, but yeah, thank you for expounding on that.
It's like, going back to the trust fund baby, it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, you have a baby who is aware, I have $200,000 sitting over there for me. But the difference with it being in a trust fund is you can put stipulations on that and say, yeah, you have this $200,000, but you have to do A, B, C. And if you mess around and do these other things, you can lose that money. You know, yeah. So if you get arrested, in some cases they may say if you become pregnant before you get your college degree or whatever the stipulations are. So you can use that $200,000 as a baby, or actually with your baby as a carrot to actually foster their education into the understanding right. of money and actual financial literacy. So as they come up the ladder, they understand that I have $200,000, but my first thought should be, how do I make that $300,000, $400,000, $500,000? And yeah. Is there a way that I can do it and live on the interest while this actually grows? So even though I'm a baby, when I hit actually 35, I no longer need to work because I understood the literacy of what my parents were actually doing, and they structured it in a way to make it a mandatory that I understand this before I get this lump sum of money, so that I in turn will do the same for my children. And even that can be actually put into the trust, where a portion of your death benefit rolls over to the grandchildren to make sure the grandchildren are insured with instructions for them. So you can literally, you know, my mother had like a family Bible, and in the Bible, all the birthdays would be in there, all the phone numbers would actually be in there. So that was like the family book, you know. So you can literally create your family book, you know, through a trust, to the point where you're grandchildren that are yet unborn has to go through an educational process to understand the money, because if it's done right, their parents will have money when they're born, so they're being born into money but not the understanding of the money. And through the trust,
that's good,
you can lay down educational guidelines, so that it's not only through a school, you can have written guidelines and documents in your trust, so that you mandate by 10 years old, you need to start thinking about what type of business you're going to start. You know, by 12 years old, you need to be playing with some type of business entity of your own. You know, so you can mandate whatever things you have in your mind to instill and establish your family legacy, so that when that grandson or granddaughter comes to age, They are still actually benefiting off the entity that you created as a trust, that is now educating their children, that is now funding their businesses, that are now teaching their friends and family through the example of just having the money put in place for it, because it's the education that goes along with the money is why I'll say wealthy people have it generation after generation after generation, and others don't. You know, what actually comes to mind is the Rockefellers, and what's that other family? There was two.
The Rothschilds.
Rothschilds are the ones who just got the money and enjoyed it. So it didn't last many generations for them. The Rockefellers are still living off of, you know, I think it was actually J.D. Rockefeller was the founder, was the one who was the actual oil magnate. So his family is still living off of his money, you know, but the Rothschilds actually money, it faded away after two or three generations because they did not have a structure in place to perpetuate the actual trust.
So the trust, from what I'm hearing from you, the trust should actually be viewed as a family office that is established to not only protect the wealth, but also to teach future generations that financial literacy and how to keep that money going. So one thing you can depend on, and I can speak personally, I guarantee that everyone who's watching has had a family member pass away. Now, whether they had insurance or not, because we're all, you know, going to pass away. That's one thing that's guaranteed. And the thing that I've noticed with these families is, and I hate to sound morbid, but they made sure to capitalize on that and make it pay forward for their families. They literally built the family and the generational wealth off of their insurance. They made sure that as, you know, children were born into that family, they all had insurance. And so as the natural cycle of life takes place, wealth was put back into the trust, and they were able to do their own personal banking. As a matter of fact, you may want to check out our video where we talked about the financial resolutions for 2022. We talk about personal banking and how insurance plays a role into that. Remember, I was telling you in the beginning that insurance is not just in case you die, insurance. there are also forms of insurance that you could use right now to benefit your family while you're living. As Brother Shabazz alluded to earlier, you can use those same insurances to, say, finance a business, finance a college education, whatever that may be. But ultimately, that should that the goal should be to build generational wealth. It's money that's on the table for you. If you're smart and educate yourself, and we're putting these tools out there, and we're just giving you a little bit today. But I don't want to belabor that point. So we talked about what a trust fund is, how it benefits us. So is this only something that the rich can do? Who can set up a trust fund? I mean, can a person like you and I do it, or a person who makes $40,000 a year, $30,000 a year set up a trust?
It could be, anyone can do it. I think the actual thinking is that only the rich can do it, but that's because the rich are involved in it, so they do what they know. We are not involved in it, so that's not the way that we plan for things. But yes, anyone can do it. And the best way to do it ideally would be for the parents to actually set it up. But if the parents don't do it, then you as the child can do it. You know, the limitations are based on your imagination, and you can build a trust. So you don't have to have, when you start the trust, you don't have to have all your assets. You can add assets in as you go. You can get your 401k account. As you grow that, you can say, okay, I'm gonna make my trust the actual beneficiary of that. I have my actually burial insurance account. I want my trust to be the beneficiary of that. So if I pass, the trust will actually get the money. The trustee will have everything they need to take care of my services. I want my life insurance. Okay, I'm gonna make the trust that, because if the trust is that, then you can structure, or you can have an outline in the trust on how you want it to be distributed. So let's say,
what about a family home? What about a family home? If that home is paid for, can you put that home under the family trust?
Yes, you can. You can put your home if you have rental property in which you own. You can put that in the trust and have your actual tenants actually pay the trust every month. You know, like I said, the limitations is based upon your imagination. So the first thing that we have to do, we have to get over the mental block that this is only for the rich. We have to understand that we can do this. We can get it started right now, and we can pay off our Honda, our Plymouth, put that in the trust. You can get your actual bank accounts, because you know, when you open a bank account, they always say, who's the beneficiary? You can make that your trust, because if you pass away and you don't have a beneficiary, or your beneficiary don't know they're the beneficiary, then that money sits there for a while, then it goes to the state, because the person who was a beneficiary were unaware that they were the beneficiary, or they were unaware of that account. But if you have a trust and you have everything secured in that account to the point where you can just add it in there, you don't have to necessarily tell the beneficiary, because the trustee, who is the person who is actually managing that, would already know. So in the event that you pass, your life insurance pays 100% into the trust. You don't have to you don't have to give that 100% out. You can say, okay, 40% goes to my spouse, 20% go to my two children who are living. The other 20% goes to put life insurance on the youngest person in the family and the oldest person in the family. And then you continue that cycle, so you're always funding the trust, and so that those instructions are always coming back to what you established. And the money's always coming in, the children are always being born, so you're getting them insured early, because the most important thing about having life insurance is getting insured as early as possible, because life insurance is based upon age, gender, and health. Okay, so the younger you are, the more healthier you are, the less your insurance is going to be. And you can pay insurance for a shorter period of time when you're young, stop paying it, let your insurance accumulate. And then when you pass, if you get insurance at 6 years old, you live to your 90 years old, that's 84 years of compounding interest.
Wow.
So when you pass, you have that going into the trust. So you now just funded, you know, that six-year-old who is now 90, when they pass, they're funded their great grandchildren's education. They funded another house. They funded two more businesses, you know. So it's an entity. It's kind of like you have a child. And when that child is born, you start teaching them how to walk, how to eat, how to talk, how to speak, how to read, how to do math. So you're teaching it. It's going through an education. A trust is the same thing. It's an entity that you're providing education through, and your family or your beneficiaries are the students. And as they come through that, rather than getting a diploma, their diploma could be the inheritance from when you pass, or their diploma could be part of the growth that they can use for their wedding, for their home, for their car, for their business. So the whole key of it is the education and the realizing that I don't have to make $400,000 a year in order to start a trust. You know, I'm going to start a trust. I'm only making $50,000 a year, but I don't have a whole lot of expenses. So I can make sure that I'm funding things into the trust when I buy my house, when I pay off my cars, my life insurance, my children's life insurance, my future generation instructions. I mean, what would we say to our great and grandson if we had a chance to sit down and speak with him? You know, these are the type of things you want to lay out in a structure within your trust, so that they are getting your wisdom, even though they may only see pictures of you, you know? So, I mean, so that's your question. The trust is for everyone. You know, the rich will do a more sophisticated trust, where they may have one trust rolling into another trust, into a corporate. So they may intertwine a whole lot of things because they're rich and they're dealing with a whole lot of money. So this is why when you have a trust or you go through setting up a trust, you want to make sure you do it with an attorney so that it's structured correctly and you don't set up something that's just going to either not fund what you want, or it's a waste of money and time that just actually ties up all of your assets and you don't get it distributed how you envisioned it.
So that is a lot of information, a wealth of information. So with that being said, you know, because like I said, I'm a little familiar with it and I grasp a lot of that. For those that may not be as familiar and that information was coming at them, and they're like, man, this is really good information. I didn't know this. I didn't know I could do this or do that. But they probably aren't going to remember a lot of the information that you just put out. So who should they contact to talk more about a trust and how to get started and just what the requirements are and what their options are?
The easiest way would be to go to our website, Hidden Tools of Economic War, but we just use the acronym HTOEW.com. Once you go on the site, there'll be a button for trust. You can click on that for lots of information. Then you automatically get some information sent to you that will give you more of an outline that you can print out and hold and kind of study over it, because the one thing with the trust, it's so much information that It could send you in a circle or just confuse you or just overwhelm you. So by you doing that for free, you can get an outline of what a trust is, what the benefits are, and then it would have more information about you setting up a consultation with an actual attorney. So you can run your do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts, can I, you know, all through the attorney and begin to get it legally structured. So once again, that's htoew.com. Click on trust. It's a quick questionnaire there. Answer those questions. Then you automatically be emailed some information. And then you can go from there. And then we can follow up with you to see if you have any questions, if there's anything that we can help you with. And you always have our information as well. So you can contact us just if you're overwhelmed and say, hey, I got the paperwork, it still don't make any sense. I have a few questions. Can you answer my questions? And then we'll be more than happy to do that for you, because once again, Hidden Tools of Economic War, believe it or not, we are involved in an economic war. And we are just here to help facilitate the understanding of that, because the whole thing we are not being taught certain things, so we don't understand. And we are here to just make you comfortable in understanding. And by going on our website, you can get some information to just get your mind kind of twirling around how a trust can benefit you, and then you can move forward from there.
Brother Keeley, thank you so much for that. And you know, I always go back to this scripture, and it's even still fitting in this conversation. You know, the Bible says, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, not because they can't do it, not because they're not capable. It is the lack of knowledge. So do whatever you can to latch on to someone who is well versed in finances. Like I said, you know, call this brother up, you know, his organization, and, you know, make sure you get the information that you need. It's not as difficult or as hard as we may have assumed that it is. The other thing I want to make sure that we all get is go back and look at some of the other videos that we've put out, financial resolutions for 2022. See where this conversation has developed, where we started out with, where we talked about life insurance and some of the things that you can benefit from by having life insurance and setting your family up for the future. That's very, very important, financial literacy. Again, like I said, you know, it's the show is religion, economics, and politics. So we do talk about, you know, all of these things from a biblical perspective. But I just felt like the economics piece was so important. That's why we're spending so much time on it. The Bible also says money answereth all things. Now, we also know the Bible says that, you know, a man can gain the whole world and lose his soul. So we got to keep perspective. So it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. So we got to keep money in its proper perspective, in its proper place. But at the same time, you got to eat. And I don't know about you, but I like to eat, and we got to keep a roof over our head, and we got to think about our children, and you know, their legacy. What legacy are we leaving for them? So not only do we leave behind a legacy of wealth, but we're also leaving behind a legacy of wisdom and understanding and the knowledge. You know, I always heard the saying that the rich keep getting richer. You know, I heard that, but no one asked the question, why? Why do the rich keep getting richer? Why? It's because they understand how money works. Right. And they're wise. They're wise as to how the money system works. Money has to circulate. We're going to have a show, podcast, where we're going to talk about building wealth in the stock market. So that's just another part of your portfolio. Yes, even with stocks going up and down. Let me tell you, Mitt Romney, that guy makes money whether the stocks go up or down. There's a way to do that. these guys know how to do this stuff because they understand the market and how money works. Once we get that same knowledge and understanding, we'll also be able to benefit. The money doesn't care what color you are. The money doesn't care what economic background you come from. The system doesn't care. The rules all apply the same way, but do you know the rules? If I go out here on this highway and if I do 85, at some point, I'm probably going to be stopped. Why? Because the law says that I shall not exceed a certain speed limit on a particular stretch of highway. My economic background was not written into that law. My ethnic persuasion was not written into that law. But if you know how the laws work, you have a happy life. So before I go, we're going to end things here, and I want to appreciate everyone for their time and for supporting REP Podcast, Religion, Economics, and Politics. I'm going to have some swag available here pretty soon. You know I had to do it. I had to bring some swag. So we're going to put that up on the website, and I'd ask that you support you know, this podcast, you know, by purchasing the swag. Hey, you're gonna look good. I'm not going to put anything out there that's not going to look, you know, it's not going to look good. So as a young kid say, you know, you drip. So you'll be dripping, you know. I don't even know if that's the proper way to say it. But, you know, so as we said back in the day, it's going to be tight, you know. So we'll have some swag out there. We'll also have an opportunity for you to give and to support what we do here. We want to expand this education to everyone, because the more financially literate people are, the better off it's going to be for our communities, and we will be able to do things and fund our own projects, fund, you know, put our own schools in, do those things that we always wished we could do, start our own business, whatever it is, you know, leave an inheritance for your children. So again, I want to thank everyone for the time and watching and putting up with us today. There was some there were some technical glitches, you know, going live. I'm new to this whole live thing. But hey, we're going to work through it, you know. So like brother said earlier, you know, where there's no pain, there's no growth. And we're looking at a lot of growth, man, because there was a lot of pain earlier. So, but anyway, thank you all so much. And always, as always, you know, stay vigilant and be encouraged.